Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 433. God bless all of you. I mean, I pray, you know, the Lord says for us to honor all men. Now, there isn't any other way that I can think of to honor men more than by preaching the gospel to them, telling them the truth. I mean, I tell the truth to all the presidents, the kings, all the federal government agents and everything, because I honor them because they are creations of God and God told me to. And God did a lot of rebuking and reproving of people that are in the religious field, like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. And he witnessed to Pilate and to Caesar, and he witnessed, the Apostle Paul witnessed to Agrippa. And, you know, we are called to witness to people. Daniel witnessed to the king. And there's a whole lot of people that really have been called by God to witness, not just to the people on the street, but we've been called to witness and testify to honor you. And tonight I want to honor you. And we have some great songs today. There's one that is going to surprise you, a song that is really going to surprise you, I think. And we've got some testimonies, and we've got some good explanations, and some Bible reading, and a tremendous message, all right? But right now, let's go to the throne and ask, Father, that you would help me, that you would take over this entire service. Lord, you said to honor all men, and that means to preach the gospel to them. Some people hate the gospel, but that's on them. This will send them to hell and then later into the lake of fire. And pray, Lord God, I pray that they will receive the gospel before it's everlastingly too late. But if they don't, of course, you're going to do what you say you're going to do. You're going to destroy them forever and ever in the lake of fire. This, Father, is the reason why they hate your children. They hate not us, really. It's the us. It's the gospel that we preach to them. It's just the same thing that you told Moses. They're not angry at you, Moses. What they're angry at is they're angry at me, my commandments, the things that I've told them to do. But people should really, you idol worshippers out there that believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and all, that the Mother Nature and things that don't really exist, you Gentiles have made a mockery out of the gospel. But God is sending 144,000 of us Jews to, we're like 144,000 John the Baptist, just make the way of the Lord straight, because he's going to appear, and he's going to appear suddenly like a thief in the night. Father, let them know the truth and let them accept the truth. Anoint this service. You take it over. Lord God, that the souls out there can be saved, and the church of God all over the world can be strengthened by your powerful word, which is spirit and life. I ask it, Lord, and that you destroy all of our enemies that are stubbornly going to contend with you. I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, now there's a crystal mountain that exists. In the Bible, mountains are symbolic of nations. And there's the clear mountain. There's no sin in it. There's no spot, no wrinkle, no stain, no sin stains or anything, because the people that are going to be there have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of God. They've been cleansed, and they, because that their consciences have been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, they come to the throne of God boldly. They keep themselves covered in the blood of Jesus. And so I'm going to sing for you now a song that George Mottola, who owned a big record company, his wife wrote this especially for me. And I don't know of anybody else that has ever sang it before. It's called Crystal Mountain.
Well,
up high. There's a crystal mountain higher than the eagles fly, where love is flowing like a fountain, where the soul will never die.
And it's free.
To all who find it, for the door is open wide. Look, the path is straight and narrow to this mountain way up high.
Come with me
up to this mountain,
where the crystal waters flow.
For the treasures you will find there are worth more than precious gold. In this world so full of darkness, many people lose their way, never thinking about tomorrow, living only for today. But within this crystal mountain shines the light to guide the way. Just look and you will find it. Love's the only price you pay. Come with me up to this mountain,
up to this mountain,
where the crystal waters flow. For the treasures you will find there are worth more than precious gold. Are worth more than precious gold.
Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says, let's see, this is in Matthew. This is chapter 18, verse 10. Talking about a crystal mountain. You know, there's so many people in despair. There's so much darkness, they don't even want to hear the gospel, because the people that preach the gospel don't preach the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
They don't talk about guardian angels that are around protecting people that God knows is going to be in the kingdom of heaven and be with him forever. And so, but you know, the 10th verse in chapter 18 of Matthew states, quote, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones." You know, people today are despising little ones. They abort them before they're born. They're the first degree murder. And why does the Lord, rebuking people, telling them that may take heed, pay attention. Don't do this now. Don't despise one of these little ones. For I am God. This is the Spirit of God in him. He says, that's not me, the Son of Man, that's saying these things. It's the Spirit of God in me. I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So you might say, well, so what? Yeah, you know, that he's beholding, these angels are beholding the face of the Father. Well, because the Father is seeing everything. He's everywhere. He feels everything in the whole universe. There isn't anything that he doesn't see or hear. The molecules, the atoms, are his. And he's talking about his babes, like those of us that are born again of the Spirit. We are his chosen, we're his people. And make sure that you don't despise one of them. A lot of people despise their children, though. the little ones he's talking to also, primarily here. And because he talks about these angels, and there's guardian angels in this world. Read 1 Corinthians 11:10.
It's 1 Corinthians 11:10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, because...
What? Power on her head. You know why? Because in the book of Genesis, it says that the woman, that the man is her power. Amen?
Amen.
It says he's in charge of her. This is going to alarm all you women libbers out there that want to get into the field of competing with men. And some of you think you're doing a great job, but you're going to have to stand before God. And God said that the woman is to stay at home, be married, have children, and keep out of it. Amen?
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said he suffers not a woman to teach. They can preach, but really not. Because they may sound good. And because of the fact that so many people have exalted women above men, they just think that women are gods. They've built idols, women into idols. And they are not idols, all right? The Bible completely puts most women down, okay? Like King Solomon said, he found, out of 1,000 women, he didn't find one of them that was worth their salt, right?
Amen.
But he said he has found a man. All right, now go ahead and read that. This is 1 Corinthians 11:10.
For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels.
Because of the angels. So the Lord is talking about angels. The reason I'm saying that is because there's a song that should really help people that are in prison, shut-ins, people that feel like committing suicide, that God has not left you without power. Like you have to obey, women have to obey the commandments of the Lord just like we men do. But they don't even keep the first commandment for them to stay at home and have children and be married. Well, my husband did this, that. Yeah, but you're supposed to have a godly husband, all right?
Amen.
So your husband's right. You've got a lot of bad husbands out there, and there's a lot of bad wives too. Now take this, you know, I support, by this, because of the Spirit of the Lord told me to do so, I support a lot of men in prison, and I support a whole lot of women in prison as well. Send them aid for their hygiene and things like that. And many other things in prison, shoes, because they don't have comfortable shoes and things. But because of the angels, because the angels look down and they see women cropping their hair, and their hair, the Bible states, is a covering. Amen?
Amen.
Right there, a little bit later in 1 Corinthians 11:10, a little bit further down, it talks that her hair is her covering. And the man, she has to have power over her, because I don't know of any woman that is really, God is the head of the, Christ is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the woman. Doesn't make any difference what this one world government and their exaltation of women says. It's not true, all right? You have to obey the truth in order to get into heaven. Okay, and so people, both women and men, want you want to have guardian angels protecting you. Now, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 15 through 17 says... he's talking about Elisha. So let's read some of that, Sharon.
And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots.
So there's people there that wanted to kill him. Just like today, we have the entire host of the one world government, which is the second cog in the Antichrist. First is the false prophet in Rome. First is it's this devil is giving power unto the false prophet and the beast, Satan. And if you can think of anything else that Satan could do other than what this one world government, the false prophet is doing, and the news media, tell me. You know, send me letters, tell me what you think that Satan could do more than what they're doing. They're deceiving people. You know that it isn't any big thing. Satan, you know, if you're just out there sinning and Satan knows he's got you, you're going to hell unless you repent. And so the people that are of the Lord are the ones that really need to watch out, because you know the truth. The blood of Jesus has cleansed your sins away, and you're on your way to heaven. But if any temptation gets you to the point to where you would go back into the world, then there will be no guardian angels for you. God will wreck you. He will wreck you. Now, this is Bible. Now, I'm talking real Bible, not some fantasy that you hear these false prophets preaching on TV and in churches. Most of them are just absolutely false. So go ahead and read this. Finish it off.
And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
Yeah, these were guardian angels that God sends to protect you if you are a Christian. And so we have to have faith to know that in the event that the entire nations, all of them, are against us, that the host of heaven is greater than all the armies of the world. Amen. Combined together, and all their carnal weapons. Now, Psalms 91, 11, and 12. Give his angels, the psalmist David is talking about God giving his angels charge. Okay, let me hear it.
For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone.
Yeah, so that you know, don't be tempted by Satan. He says, told Jesus, jump off this cliff if you be the Son of God. In other words, always throwing some doubt in there. And he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Even Satan knew that there's guardian angels. He stated that God gives his angels charge over us. Amen?
Amen?
To protect us if we're keeping the commandments. And when I was a little boy, I was sent to you know, this young boy and I ran away, and this young boy took his dad's car, and we wrecked in Lovell, Wyoming, just outside of Lovell, Wyoming, and it was a picture in the paper that says, a miracle. This car was flattened because we were thrown out of the car because we weren't harnessed in, like this satanic government makes you harness yourself in. We were not harnessed into the car, and we were thrown clear, and that car was smashed. There was a sack of oranges in the back, and there was a carton of Regent cigarettes, and all that was left of those oranges was pulp and juice. They were all juiced, and the cigarettes were like Bull Durham. It was like loose tobacco. They were all smashed to pieces, and so that's why I'm against seatbelts. They'll say, well, seatbelts have saved a lot of people's lives. But seatbelts have destroyed a lot of people's lives, too. There was a young woman over at a place on Sierra Highway, where our church is. And in front of this place, a little restaurant there. And all of a sudden, she had a gas can in the back of her car. And the fumes were so strong, I guess she lit up a cigarette and it blew. It ignited all the fumes and the can. It had about 5 gallons of gas in there. And she was strapped into her car by a seat belt. And the doors were locked, and she couldn't get out. And one of our boys named Ray Arez, and he was given a plaque of honor from the mayor for it, he took his fist and broke the glass, and then reached in and unlocked the door, and then he ripped the seat belt out and grabbed her, and helicopters, he called the authorities, and the Helicopters came and flew her to the hospital, and she's still alive today. And this happened years ago. And seatbelts are anti-Christ satanic devices, as far as I'm concerned. And the government that's murdering babies and not paying any attention to the little ones that the Lord's talking about in the Bible, they don't care. They're murdering them by the thousands. So the government, Satan, does not like you. He just wants to kill you, murder you before your soul goes out into eternity. He knows that if you go out unsaved, that your soul is going to be burning in hell. Now, Ray Arez was able to get that woman out of that little VW, but if she goes to hell, or you go to hell, or if I went to hell, there's no exit in hell or in the lake of fire. You're there forever. And that's a very bad thing. So you say, but this world is so hard, it's so awful. There's so many disasters. There's so many people that are killing their own kids, and so many people that are murdering each other, and people are committing suicide. Well, let me encourage you. God has guardian angels around you. He's got guardian angels around your bed at night. And if you close your eyes and imagine, if when I was in this reform school, I got sent to reform school, the other kid didn't. I was just a writer. And the DA said, I don't have to go to reform school. But my dad said, I think it's the best thing for him. And probably it was, you know, I don't know. So I went, and I was beaten like an animal there. And, you know, people would go to prison for 40 years, they say, this guy that is having these dog fights with the Bulldogs, this football player or basketball player, whatever he is. 40 years! But they don't give one day in prison for murdering babies. This is how awkward and obtuse and satanic this one world government is. And the popes and all these false religions and the media. And the media just comes after people for doing things. You know, these people are molesting, these Vaticanites are molesting these little ones. And their angels are beholding the face of God always in the kingdom of heaven. Now, what do you think God is going to do to these child molesters? And then they turn around and blame Christians for being child molesters and child abusers. This is the stinking, satanic, antichrist, Roman Catholic cult. Now, I know a lot of Roman Catholic people that I love. You know, I think they're really great. But they don't know the corruption in the Vatican. They're just like laity. And they are really nice people. As a matter of fact, my brother Danny went to Boys Town, Nebraska when he was a kid. And he said Father Flanagan was really nice, and the people there were very nice. And I've met a lot of nice ones. When I was in Israel, I used to sit under an olive tree and talk to a Catholic monk. And we had a really good time talking together. And he didn't know the Bible, and I was teaching him the Bible. And it was really great. But I want to encourage you people. I was beaten there, and I didn't have anyone in reform school. My mother was an alcoholic, and my dad sent me there, and I was beaten. And there were people there that I was just little, and here I would had been supporting my mother and the two brothers. And I just didn't have anybody to turn to, but I heard a song, and it really meant a lot to me. When I was just a little boy, and it was written by somebody that you would least expect. It was written by, have you ever heard of the Marx Brothers? These are kind of like lunatic acting guys. But this song, which is one of the songs that made an imprint on me back then, because I used to concentrate on it. And those of you that are in prisons and shut-ins and people that have turned their back on you, your friends and family, and especially, I'd love you to hear this and think about this all the time, that God really does have guardian angels surrounding you. And when I go to bed, I would think of this song. And I never heard anyone but Harpo Marx wrote it. But it's, I imagine, you know, he was not the best looking guy in the world. And I guess that maybe a lot of people didn't pay much attention to him either. But he, this came out of his heart. And possibly he saw these guardian angels around his bed. And so I'm sure most of you have heard of Mario Lanza. And I have a copy of his CD here. And I'd like to play that for you right now. Guardian Angels Around My Bed.
Guardian angels around my bed, joining me in my prayers. They hush the shadows when they dance about. They shoo away the bears. Guardian angels to comfort me if I wake in the night. They gather all my dreams. Their halos are my light. They dry my tears. Till I rise, there's one with shining wings who holds my hand and shows me paradise.
Guardian angel.
To comfort me if I wake in the night, they gather all my dreams. Their halos are my light. They dry my tears. If I should weep, they till I rise. There's one with shining wings who holds my hand and shows me
praise the Lord. When I was a child, that song really helped me out a lot. And it helps me out today, too, because for the past 43 years, the Vatican, and I've checked it out, every time we were persecuted, it came right straight from the doorways of the Vatican. as Sue and myself were persecuted for 17 years, and then she went on to meet the Lord. She was persecuted 25 years before that. And there's so many people in this world that are being persecuted by the Vatican, and they've slaughtered, literally slaughtered millions of people, and they've molested children, and they've done so many things. And we should be encouraged, because the Bible tells that we have guardian angels around us. They're surrounding us, amen?
Amen.
And they're helping us, and that encourages me, and I really pray that that song encourages you as much as it does me. The Bible scriptures are what really encourages me, but that song, well before I was saved, encouraged me as a child. I mean, nobody brought the gospel to me at all. But they're threatening. They've been threatening to close us down. The Vatican, the government in Los Angeles now is just raising all kinds of cane, and in New Jersey, and everywhere in the world, people are suffering persecution. But remember that we have the Lord in heaven, and He has dispatched a dispensation of time that the angels are. They're guardian angels, and they're helping us. I remember many times in my life when I was almost killed, and God rescued me. It was like the hand of God just picked up an automobile. I was headed, it was early in the morning, and I was headed for it was very grayish. Everything looked gray. And I was just a few feet from a concrete wall, and I used to drive very fast. And I just thought, this is it. But at any rate, I'll just step on the brakes anyway. And I pressed on the brakes, and that car was just lifted up and turned to go right up the freeway. It was the entrance into Los Angeles. I was driving in from Palm Springs. And many other times, I almost stepped into a car, and something held me back. And I'm sure that there are hundreds of millions of people in the world that could give testimonies about times that they were almost killed and they felt a power stopping them from doing something, or they rescued. You were rescued some way until the time came to where you could hear the truth of the Word of God. And you're still alive today to hear the truth of the Word of God so that you can accept it and have your soul saved so that you don't enter into the lake of fire, and you'd be swimming in that for hundreds of billions and trillions of years. It never ends, folks. You, my brothers and my sisters out there, don't be depressed. They're guardian angels. There's more of them than there is of the people here on this earth, and God has the power. To God be the glory. Amen.
Yeah.
Not us, but the Lord has. I think I'll play another Mary Alonso song at the end of this program. Instead, we'll do the Lord's Prayer, okay? Stay tuned in, because the Lord wants that prayer. He says, my will be done here on earth. I want God's will to be done here on earth as it is done in heaven. And so He said that the kingdom of heaven is being established even back then, because the kingdom of heaven is not, you can't observe it. It enters into people. And the more of us that it enters into, the more of it is that the kingdom of heaven is being established here on earth. All right, we have some testimonies here. I really hope that you enjoy these songs that we play, because they really are, they have a deep meaning to them. And they're meant to encourage you along the way. Okay, one day at a time. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's hear, where's the first testimony from?
From Siana, Peru.
Okay.
Beloved Pastor Tony Alamo, I am your spiritual son, since it was because of your literature that I have known the Savior. And up till today, I am following Christ. And thank God, I am serving time in prison in Puita, Peru, where I have been put in charge of a cell block of prisoners. Thank you for everything you have sent us. The work in Puita is a blessing. Every day the people of God grow in numbers. Many cell blocks worth of prisoners have been converted to the Lord. I will be released soon, and I would first of all like you to give me the opportunity to meet you, Brother Tony, and for you to give me the opportunity to be near you in the United States.
Well, listen, if that doesn't ever happen, because we're all so busy for the Lord, we'll certainly be meeting each other in the kingdom of heaven, which is soon to come. Amen?
Amen.
But we're in the Spirit anyway, and we're all supposed to be around the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sitting on his throne, and those of us that are born again of the Spirit are sitting there with him. Amen?
Amen.
And guardian angels, he's very aware of us here, and he sends guardian angels to open up doors for us and to close doors for the enemy. So trust the Lord in all thy ways, and he will deliver you, amen, from the enemy. He delivers you from the enemy. Okay, then what else?
Pray for my life, because you are the anointed of the Lord, sent by him to be used in a great way by our God.
Well, the Lord wants to anoint all the brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So that we need to just get the gospel, just get the word out. The word is God. Amen?
Amen.
And the reason that we preach the word is because God said to you, he doesn't want your soul or anyone's soul to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
Thank God, because of your prayers, we are now saved. Blessings, Pastor Tony. God bless you. Signed, A. Rodriguez from Siana, Peru.
All right, now, you've got another one?
Yes, from Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, in the first place, I would like to say thank you very much for sending me the materials, the Messiah According to Bible Prophecy books, one King James Version Bible, and some other assorted world newsletters. I did greatly rejoice when I received the said materials. Pastor Tony, your materials are very inspiring, provoking, and educative. Again, send me more newsletters for distribution, 20 Messiah books for distribution to those who don't have them. Put me also on your monthly mailing list. I would like also to make my comment concerning the Tony Lamo Christian Ministries. My comments are that I personally have heard many preachers preaching the Word of God, and I read a lot of Christian books and magazines and booklets written by different ministers of the Word of God. But I have seen there is a big difference with your preaching and written materials that you sent to me. Pastor, continue to preach the Word of God in sending me your materials. May God in heaven be with you all. Amen. Yours in Christ, Pastor George, from Luapula region, Zambia, Africa.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, what is the blood of Jesus? I've been doing a series on the blood of Jesus. What it is that it's God's holiness. There's no possible person that can get into the kingdom of heaven without being holy. And what the blood of Jesus does is takes away the sins off of our souls, and God looks upon us. He doesn't look at our sins anymore, because the blood erases them away and drowns them in the sea of God's forgiveness. And so when he looks upon us, he's looking upon the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is to cover us and wash all the sins away, so that God can look upon the blood, so that he'll pass over us. He won't send our souls to hell. He says that we are the ones that actually send our souls to hell if we don't keep his commandments. Now, the blood of Jesus is also not only God's holiness, but it's God's righteousness, which absolutely demands for a person to have a sinless life. And that's what the Lord has done when he came into the world and kept all the commandments and then gave himself willingly for us when we were sinners, so that we could be immersed in his precious blood by faith. He has given life, a sinless life and a righteous life to those which he has given to human beings. That's really something, you know. And after you've been born again of the Spirit and you're washed in the blood, then he tells you to deny yourself, which is one thing, and then he tells you to now come on and follow me. And there's no way people can deny themselves, but to follow the Lord is quite a bit more than that, because there's nobody that can follow the Lord and put up with all the persecution that the Antichrist, especially in these last days, he knows that his time is short and he's full of wrath, Satan is, and all of his people. And they say anything that they want to about the people of the Lord, And they're doing everything in the world to make people become bitter with the things that he's doing. God must come. He had to come into this world to make it possible that if a person wants to have a sinless life, that they could have it. You can have a sinless life. You can be holy. You can be perfect. Don't believe these false teachers that are saying it's him all. Who's perfect? God is perfect. His blood is perfect. His spirit is perfect. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're walking in this, you've been washed in the blood, and you're walking in the spirit, then you're perfect in the eyes of God. Now, of course, people look at us, and we look just like normal human beings, but they can't see that we're actually God-men and God-women. But God is living in us. Jesus, with the Father, by the Holy Spirit, is in us. And they get upset very much because we preach the reality of the power of God. The sinless life comes by God living in us, in human beings. There is only life in the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that the life is in the blood. Amen?
Amen.
You drain your body of blood and you don't have any life anymore, because the life of man is in the blood, and the eternal life of God in man is the blood of Jesus. It cleanses your soul, and then the spirit that enters into you and gives you the power to be able to keep the commandments of the Lord. So the blood has to be poured out for you and for me, for your and my sins. Your sins and mine. Our former sins, that is. You know, we can't, the Lord didn't come in and make us holy so that we could go and be unholy again. Amen?
Amen.
We're born into the world because of our mother and father, but then in order to be able to get into the kingdom of heaven, see, first we're born into the world by mom and dad, and now to get into the kingdom of heaven, we must be born again of the Holy Spirit. We must be washed in the blood and separated from the world by the Holy Spirit, which is the blood and water that ran out of Emmanuel, God with us. And of course, as sins of ignorance, God will, if you ignorantly have sinned, God will wash those away. But once you know what you've done wrong, and the Lord reveals it to you, and then you continue, you willingly sin, well then you're re-crucifying Christ again, and there remains no more, and trampling his blood underfoot. And there's no more forgiveness for you, the Bible says. Now, God is the one who requires it to be that way. Not me, God. If you're mad at God, you're angry at him, well, you're not going to win any battle with him at all. God is the one who demands that the blood be presented before him in order for him to look down and see that you are in God's life. Because before that happens, you're not in God's life. You're alive because of, but you got to, you were, because you were born. And if you haven't died yet, well, then you're alive. But now that you are born and you know that you've sinned, then you have to be born one more time. And not again and again and again. Some people think they can just get saved over and over again. That isn't the case. In order to satisfy God, he's the only righteous one. We have to be covered in him. His blood filled with him. And we must be in him. And he, of course, he in us. And it is he, God, and it's only God, who says, when I see the blood all over your soul and all the sins gone, I will pass over you. That's Exodus 12:13. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only blood, the only sacrifice that satisfies God. The blood has satisfied God. God is satisfied. It must satisfy you as well, you and I. It has, therefore, another value that is marvelous, and it is towards us. It's for us and towards us. The human race, that is. And in the cleansing of our consciences, our conscience has to be cleared. Because if you're going around still thinking that you're a sinner, and if Satan is keeping you down, depressed, because he says you're sinning, you're sinning, you're lusting, and you believe him, you're not supposed to believe him, you're supposed to believe the Lord, amen?
Amen.
When we come to the epistle, to the Hebrews, you'll be able to see that the blood does this. We are to have, quote, hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We have to really know that we're washed in the blood. Amen?
Amen.
We have to receive that. That's Hebrews 10:22. This is very important for you to know that your conscience, that you, the blood of Jesus is taken away from you, an evil conscience. You have to know you're saved. Amen?
Amen.
That's Hebrews 10:22. Read it.
Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Yeah, our bodies are washed with the water that came from the side of the Lord Jesus Christ that separates us from sin, so that the blood did a good job on us and it stays there. We have to continue knowing that the blood of Jesus is on our soul and that we're free, amen, to
amen.
Serve the Lord, to follow the Lord. We have to separate ourselves. This is very important. Read carefully, look carefully at what the Bible says. The scribe does not tell us that the blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses us, our hearts, and then stops there in his statement. If we think so, we are wrong to connect the heart with the blood in quite that way. It shows a misunderstanding of the sphere in which the blood operates. To pray, Lord, cleanse my heart from sin by thy blood. The heart, God says, is desperately sick and wicked. It's desperately, it has to be cleansed, amen?
Amen?
In order for us to get into the kingdom of heaven. And any of these preachers would say, oh, you could just sin. Nobody's perfect. They're liars, folks. Jeremiah, that's Jeremiah 17:9, telling us that the heart is desperately sick and wicked. And God must do something more fundamental than cleanse it. He must give us a new heart, amen?
Amen.
We don't want... We can't wash and iron clothing that we are going to throw away. So you will see the, quote, flesh, unquote, is too evil to be cleansed. The flesh is too evil to be cleansed. It must be crucified. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord didn't wash the sins from our flesh because it's too sinful. We must be crucified to the cross. Amen?
Amen.
We have to take up the cross. Deny ourselves. We are nothing unless we do that. The work of God within us must be something entirely new. Entirely new. A new heart. Also will I give you, the Bible says, and a new spirit will I put within you, saith God. That's Ezekiel 36:26. I don't find that it states that the blood cleanses our hearts. Its work is not subjective in that way. But a holy, if it took away the sins off our heart, then we wouldn't be needed to have a new heart, would we?
No.
Amen.
Amen.
But entirely objective, entirely obtuse. Before God, we are subject to God, entirely to God. True, the cleansing work of the blood is seen here in heaven. We see it comes down from heaven in Hebrews to have reference to the heart. But it is in relationship to the conscience. Quote, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Again, that's Hebrews 10:22, Hebrews. What then is the meaning of this? It means that there was something intervening between myself and God as a result of which I had an evil conscience whenever I sought to approach him. It was constantly reminding me of the barrier that stood between myself and God. But now, through the operation of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, something new has been effected in me before God, which has removed that barrier. And God has made that fact known to me in his word. I have to willingly allow myself to be crucified. Amen? I have to give myself entirely to the Lord. When that has been believed in and accepted, my conscience is at once cleared, and my sense of guilt is removed. And I live no more in an evil conscience towards God. In other words, I can approach now the throne of God boldly as I should, as I must. And I can talk to God. There's nothing evil in my conscience, in my heart, my spirit against God, or that I know that God isn't frowning upon me. He's not frowning upon me because I'm not sinning. I'm crucified with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And my time is up, and I'll continue this tomorrow if you want me to, all right? Right now, we want you to be washed in the blood. God wants you to. Thou is the acceptable time of salvation. So say this prayer, and the Lord will not turn you away. He says, all that call upon me, I will save. It doesn't make any difference how many sins you ever committed in your life. Yeah, our flesh is wicked, but we need to have it crucified with Christ. We have to willingly give ourselves totally over to the Lord. So start out by saying this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me, and anything that I've actually done, if I've been saved before, and I've done sins that are wasn't conscious of them, and now I know. And so you will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Wash me in your precious blood. Drench me in it and keep me there, Lord, by me reading your word. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you've answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord and give glory to God that there's preachers today that will tell you how to get into the most holy of holies. Amen?
Amen.
And now, Sharon, tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of this tape or CD, number 433. Make sure you mention program 433.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerhouse message from the throne of God. Until then, here's Mary Alonso to sing for you the Lord's Prayer.
Come.